Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Rachel.
Hi Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And start the sharing off, we have Hamish. Hamish, would you like to share?
Yes, good morning. My name's Hamish, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Hamish.
Well, I guess for me, the way to start the sharing is firstly what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. What it was like, I was born in Blenheim, a small South Island town in New Zealand, and was born to quite religious parents who were... My mother was religiously codependent, I guess you could say. Lovely lady, but thankfully a non-drinker. My father was an abusive alcoholic. And I felt like a square peg in a round hole from day one. I didn't fit in. I was a bit of a misfit at school and had terrible mental dilemmas around the religion that I was being taught. I was very fearful and also extremely aggressive, which came out of a lack of control I had in my home environment. So I was set up around the wrong way. There's no judgment in any of that. It's just what happened. And I have no problem with any of that now, but that wasn't the way for many years. And coming into adolescence with all of these character defects firmly in place, resentful, upset, distressed, out of alignment. When I first took a sip of alcohol, it immediately calmed me. It immediately put me the right way around. It immediately gave me the confidence that I needed to be able to fit in. I was extremely overweight as a kid. I was very, very picked on. So I developed an ability to defend myself and adopted all of the misfits at the school and excuse me, and would defend them as well. So right from the get-go, my life was about confrontation, violent confrontation at school. I was picked on heavily at school. And any time I picked up a drink, even from the age of 12, 13, 14, any time I could get my hands on any alcohol, it immediately made me feel calm. It made me feel like I belonged. It made me feel like I fitted in. It gave me the confidence to be able to talk to girls, even though I was quite overweight and probably unappealing. I guess for a young fellow, it's important to feel that he could fit in, and that's what alcohol did for me. When I left school at age 16 with having had a very poor innings at school, sadly I didn't achieve really any scholastic achievement at all. I went into the forestry and drank heavily and took drugs and overdosed and had a terrible time there. Went back home to my family and tried to put it right, but I could not. Any time I picked up a drink, I didn't know where it would go. And when I took alcohol, perhaps I would take other drugs if they were available. But really, it didn't bother me. The booze was enough for me. So if I went out for one or two drinks, it might be just that. But then again, it might not. One or two drinks could easily lead to an all-night bender and arriving home in a terrible state at 2 or 3 in the morning. Car accidents, fights, sleeping, throwing up in my sleep, terrible, terrible things, all the terrible things that alcohol does to everybody, it did to me. I was in such a bad state. And by the time I was 23, I could take it no more and stop drinking. Sadly, however, I did this through religious means. I went to the church and asked for help, but they were not qualified to deal with me. And I didn't drink for several years, but I didn't really do a program of recovery. I just read my Bible and said my prayers and did the best I could, but I slowly went mad because I was not drinking, so I didn't have the relief that alcohol provided for me. But I didn't have the relief that a recovery program would provide for me. So now I'm an alcoholic in a religious institution without alcohol and without a program of recovery. And it was a recipe for disaster. And I went quite mad. And after some years, my wife couldn't deal with me any longer and picked up with somebody else. And I flipped out and went back to my bad behaviour and started drinking heavily again. Excuse me, and I was suicidal in the extreme and in a terrible, terrible state. Really, that bender caused me to lose my career. I had gained a professional career. I was in the airline industry. I'd become an airline pilot for many years, and I just fell to pieces. Nobody around me could have any clue as to what was going on. All they knew is that they had a professional colleague doing a good job with a beautiful family one day, and then the next day I was heavily intoxicated and suicidal. In fact, excuse me, the situation was so bad in 1998 I quit my job as an airline pilot because there was no employee assistance program, there was no one to help, nobody understood, and I knew that things were going to turn pretty badly for me. I just didn't know what was wrong. I just thought I was a bad person, and so I quit flying. And then went working for myself and went into business. I was in hotels and restaurants and other businesses, and that allowed me to drink as much as I wanted. And I drank and drank and drank and drank, ignored the fact that my four beautiful children needed me, ignored the fact that I was hurting those around me, ignored the fact that I was hurting myself. And in those years of drinking, there was extreme violence from running the hotels. There was extreme damage from car accidents. And there was just absolute mayhem. So after a number of years of this behaviour, I didn't graciously turn up. I fell into Hanma 2003. I had been in violent confrontations and couldn't talk. I had my voice box had been crushed in a violent confrontation. I couldn't walk. The alcohol had ruined my body. I was overweight. I was shaking. I couldn't do anything for myself, and was 50-50 really as to whether I would survive the detox. I was put into a wheelchair 3rd of February 2003, wheeled into the detox room at the Hanma clinic, and it was there that they explained to me that I wasn't a bad person. It was there that they explained to me that I was simply an alcoholic, and that alcoholism is an illness. It's a mental and physical illness. It's a spiritual illness as well. And if I simply do what is suggested for me to do, then I need never drink again. So that was 17 years ago. And the reason I'm here doing this broadcast today and having this lovely meeting with you good people is that if I share my story openly and honestly with others, then maybe my upset, my distress, my awful experience, which it was, can be used for good. And it says in the AA program that there'll come a point in our recovery where we don't regret the past or wish to shut the door on it, that we will see how our experience can benefit others. If I keep all this to myself, then to me it's a bit of a waste. To me it is not, doesn't have a good outcome. But if I can share openly and honestly about what happened for me and to me, and show now that those matters have been dealt with, I'm 17 years sober, things are not perfect, but I am sober, that perhaps others can gain from that as well. And by helping others, then I help myself. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Hamish. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person we have to share is Stacey.
Good morning. My name is Stacey. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Stacey.
Thank you very much for your share, Hamish. I related to a lot of what you said. My childhood was very much similar in the way of I felt like I did not fit in. I always had this sense of not being enough. You know, I picked up my first drink when I was 13 years old, and it was actually my mother's bottle of Jim Beam that I took down to the park, polished it off, and ended up at a police station that night. So I think from day one, my drinking was never normal. Once I started, I couldn't stop. I had to get as blackout drunk as I possibly could, otherwise it was a waste as far as I was concerned. So over the period of my drinking, it started off with a bit of fun, socialising with friends, just doing my best to fit in with everybody else and to have that confidence that I assumed other people had. You know, and then it progressed to having a few consequences, you know, the throwing up, the blackouts, the getting into fights and drink driving and all of that sort of thing, you know. But it was sort of, you know, it got to a point where that was all it consisted of, really. It was no fun anymore. It was just consequences. I drank in the end to escape my life, not to enhance it. It is a disease of isolation, is what I have learnt in Alcoholics Anonymous. So for me, that looks like drinking at home by myself, because then I don't cause destruction to other people. And it's extremely lonely to be an alcoholic and know that you just cannot drink around other people because of the destruction you cause, and at the same time unable to stop because, you know, for me, I could not imagine life without a drink. It looked bleak and miserable, and very much, well, then I have no fun in my life. I have nothing that will bring me joy if I don't drink. Even though alcohol was not bringing me joy at all, it took me a long time to accept the fact that alcohol was the problem. You know, when I first came into AA, I looked at step one and I could see that my life was completely unmanageable. But I did not want to admit that it was because I was powerless over alcohol. I wanted to think that my life was unmanageable because of the events that had happened to me as a child, as a teenager. The people around me did me wrong, and that is why I drank. But really, it's because I was deeply unhappy within myself. My last drink was on the 25th of February 2019. It was after 3 days of hell, basically. What I realized after that weekend was that I could not carry on the way that I would, or I would die. I was 25 years old, and I realized that everybody else in my life was growing up. Everyone else was, you know, traveling, getting married, having children, buying houses, and, you know, doing all of those things in life that I could not be a part of because of my drinking. My drinking came before any of those sorts of things. And I told myself that it was okay and that everybody lives life their own way and this is my way of living. But when I saw how happy that other people were, and I knew that deep down that is what I wanted, and I was unable to achieve it as long as I put alcohol ahead of everything else. You know, I became a very selfish person and I had no idea. I stopped showing up to family events because drinking around kids to the point of blackout is unacceptable, so therefore I just would not show up. I, you know, ruined people's birthdays, showed up late, took their alcohol. You know, it was just not, you know, I was just not a nice person to be around. And the minute I stepped into an AA meeting and I heard the first person speak, I immediately identified as an alcoholic. You know, coming into Alcoholics Anonymous as a young person, there's a lot of not yets that have, you know, so I have not been to jail. I have not been arrested. I have not gone into hospital. I have not, you know, been into institutions. But what was going on in my mind was exactly the same as what other people who had done those things. You know, the feeling of helplessness, the isolation, the powerlessness was all there. You know, I just, you know, I knew that I had to make a change in my life. So what I did is I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and I got a sponsor. I got a home group. You know, I showed up to meetings I was a part of, and it made me feel like I actually belonged, you know. And providing service for other people is the biggest part of my recovery today. You know, just as it was given to me so freely, I now have the ability through the action of the 12 steps to then pass it on to other people. And there is nothing greater in my life right now than to help others to also recover from alcoholism. Today, my life looks a lot different to what it did a year ago. I am able to be a daughter. I'm able to be a friend. You know, I have I've had a spiritual experience as a result of these 12 steps. My experiences through life now don't involve, revolve around drinking. You know, I still do a lot of things that I never thought that I would be able to do sober. You know, I go to music festivals, I go to dinner parties with my friends, and I don't drink. And that means that I am present at that time and I am able to enjoy those things in the moment and remember them the next day. And to me, that was my biggest fear of coming into Alcoholics Anonymous, is that my life would become so small and that I would have to avoid these situations, and that is just far from the truth today. My life is really full of wonderful things that I knew that I always wanted and was trying to get in a bottle. And, you know, to me, I would never go back to, I would never want to go back to having another day one again. It's been a really hard journey for me, but it has been 100% worth it. And you know, if you identify with any of these things, then yeah, this program could be for you. So yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Stacey. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Nav.
Good morning. My name's Nav. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Nav.
Hi, Nav.
Thank you, Amish and Stacey, for your sharing. It's amazing how in alcoholics our stories are different, and yet there's so much similarities. I came from a good family. My parents were very decent, and I came from a very small, little, loving family. I generally had a pretty good childhood. I was really good at school. And but the fact was, I also felt that I didn't fit in. And it was mostly because it wasn't that I felt that I wasn't good enough. I mostly thought that I was better than everybody. So it's the same thing, a square peg in a round hole. I've had my first drink at the age of 12, and I must say I enjoyed it, but I didn't continue drinking. We had a few parties during high school where we had drinks, but that was about it. I did pretty well in my studies and actually got a scholarship to come to study in New Zealand. And when I came to study in New Zealand, I picked up a course which I thought I'd be good at, but ended up not doing so well. And that led to some anxiety, alcohol became a friend. I had my freedom away from home. I had my friends. I wasn't very interested in studying by that time, and drinking started becoming more and more a part of me. One thing I couldn't understand was why I didn't drink like my other friends. I always drank a little more. I was the one who always got more drunk than the others. And that continued for a long time. I ended up not finishing my studies and going back home. I started working, but I continued drinking, and slowly drinking started affecting my work. AA wasn't, there was not much awareness of AA back home in Fiji, so I didn't know anything about alcoholism, or I didn't know anything about AA until 2006, when one of my bosses found out that there was something called AA in Fiji and asked me to attend that with an ultimatum that if I didn't, then I would lose my job. And that's when I first came into AA, 2006. And when I came in, it answered a lot of questions. It answered the question why I drank the way I drank, why I couldn't drink like the other people. I could identify myself with as an alcoholic. And for me, that was enough, that I got an answer. So here I was, that I know I'm an alcoholic, now I need to find a solution. And there is a solution in the 12 steps. But that wasn't the way I was going to do it. I stuck around for AA with AA for the next 2.5 years. But I didn't work the program. I didn't do the steps. I thought I could find another way. As long as I knew I was an alcoholic, I could always control my drinking. I had this notion that one day I'd eventually be able to learn how to control my drinking. The idea of total abstinence didn't sit well with me. And I continued being sober for almost 2.5 years. And then over time, I picked up again. And when I picked up, it was back to the same old pattern. To the point that I started drinking quite regularly again, like I used to do, and the blackouts and all the consequences that came with it. One of the consequences of my drinking was I was driving from home to work. The drive was about 3 hours, and it was early in the morning, and I fell asleep on the wheel. I wasn't intoxicated, but I was hungover. I didn't have that much alcohol in my blood system that I could be charged for drink and driving, but I was tired because of my drinking, and I fell asleep on the wheel, and I had a car accident that killed another person. I was quite seriously injured as well, and it took me about a year to get over my injuries. And after my recovery, I ended up with the court system and eventually ended up in a prison. During the time, once I got out, I got married and I moved to New Zealand. And I started blaming my circumstances, not my drinking, for everything that was happening in my life. And the way to deal with that was alcohol again. So I started drinking again, which started causing problems with my marriage. I guess I knew that alcohol was part of it, but there was a certain part of me that just didn't accept the fact. I blamed my external circumstances for all other situations. And eventually, my wife left me. And once my wife left, that just gave me a total freedom to drink as much as I wanted to. And I did. I lost total control and I started drinking every day. My parents came from Fiji to help me, to support me through my separation. At the time, my dad was quite sick. And I still couldn't stop. It's said in AA that only an alcoholic understands what the other alcoholic's going through. And no matter how many times, sometimes the families try to help or try to understand, they cannot relate to your alcoholism like another alcoholic does. And that's the beauty of AA, because it's one alcoholic talking to another. And that's why an alcoholic understands the other alcoholic better than anyone else. My parents couldn't help me. My dad returned home pretty heartbroken. He returned on a Tuesday. He got admitted on a Wednesday. And he died on a Monday. The day he died, I was passed out drunk in my flat. I went back home to Fiji to look after my mom. At the funeral, I swore that I would never pick up a drink again. That promise lasted 3 months. That's the nature of alcoholism. It's an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the body. And since then, I have been going through these motions of ups and downs. You know, I lived in flats and I've been kicked out so many times. I've been evicted from places. I lost all my friends. I come from a pretty large extended family, and I eventually isolated myself from everybody. And things didn't get better. It kept getting worse, and I thought I'd hit one rock bottom until I would hit another one. I've heard many times in the meeting, it says, you stop hitting rock bottoms when you stop digging. And last year, finally, I came back into AA. And this time when I came around, I came with a total surrender and acceptance of the fact that I was an alcoholic. And since then, things have changed. Working the program, working the steps, doing all the suggested things has changed my life around. And today I live a life which definitely is beyond my wildest dreams. And that's all through AA. Thank you.
Thank you, Nev.
Thanks, Nev.
That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz. And in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.